Mark Lesser has been many things, a dishwasher, baker, a startup entrepreneur, and a CEO. He's the author of the new book, Seven Practices of a Mindful Leader, Lessons from Google and a Zen Monastery Kitchen. Blending his leadership experience running the Zen Kitchen, leading mindfulness trainings for Google engineers, and starting and leading the Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute, Mark looks to combine the wisdom of a compassionate mindfulness teacher with the insights of a business leader. Again, the name of the new book is Seven Practices of a Mindful Leader, and we welcome Mark Lesser to the roundtable this morning. Mark, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Given these seven practices that you write about in the book, how did they evolve?
It's kind of a bit of a funny story in that the context was that I was the CEO of an organization that I had helped create actually inside of Google called the Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute. And this was a mindfulness and emotional intelligence program that was becoming more and more popular inside of Google. And we were trying to figure out how to reach more people because at the time we were quite a small organization. So we decided to train a group of about a dozen Google, mostly engineers, a couple other employees, to become mindfulness teachers. I brought in a friend of mine who is one of the world's leading Zen teachers and writers and poets, a man named Norman Fisher, to kind of help on this endeavor. And how he kind of somewhat spontaneously came up with these seven practices, which were originally, what are the qualities or what's the kind of underlying values that would be most important if you were going to teach mindfulness to other people. And he came up with it kind of right on the spot, and little by little I started writing about these practices and talking about these practices, and a book started to evolve, and I at some point I needed to check in with my friend Norman, and I told him that how much I loved this teaching that he gave on these practices and that they looked like they were evolving into a book. And Norman, of course, said, what seven practices? He had no idea what I was talking about. And I read to him what they were, and he said, oh, those are really good. Good luck with your book. So that's kind of a version of how they evolved.
The seven practices: love the work, do the work, don't be an expert, connect to your pain, connect to the pain of others, depend on others, and keep making it simpler. They all go together, don't they?
They do, and I think, you know, in some way, they're a bit unexpected. You know, this idea, especially in the business world, to start with the word love. In this case, it's not so much, you know, loving the work that you are doing, although that wouldn't hurt, but it's more, you know, loving the work of awareness, loving the work of exploring the mystery, the incomparable mystery of being human, and how we bring that into our work lives, and then also to go from there to don't be an expert. This idea, you know, that what a crazy idea in the business world where everyone wants to be an expert, and right, as we should in certain ways. But this is again more looking at a relationship, that in the realm of relationship and in the realm of kind of this combination of heartfulness and getting things done, none of us are experts. And then this whole idea of connecting to your pain and connecting to the pain of others, you know, in the business world, again, but this is like in Google, one of the expressions that engineers often used was taking off your game face. And just, you know, letting yourself be more vulnerable and authentic, and then this last practice of, you know, keep making it simpler. I think this is one that we all pretty much yearn for, but it looks pretty like there's a pretty high mountain to climb in order to make our lives simpler.
When you say connect to your pain and connect to the pain of others, is that personal pain, professional pain, or both?
I think. Personal, professional, and maybe I would also maybe include existential, right? The pain of our own aloneness, the pain of knowing that we are here on this earth for a relatively short time and that we will lose everyone and everything, combined with, you know, the as you were referring to, I think the pain of that we can't control things. We don't always get what we want. We often get what we don't want. So all those versions of facing what is difficult and seeing that instead of skimming over and pushing difficulty away, there's a tremendous amount to learn and grow and real kind of deeper sense of joy and satisfaction within looking at what's hard.
I guess the word I want to focus in on is connect. Understanding it, realizing it, connecting with it is different, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you said that word. I was at a conference recently in which I'm not even sure who the speaker was, but he said something like, you know, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really somehow the opposite. You could almost say the opposite of, you know, of feeling depressed or out of sorts or that we don't belong, you know, that is, it's connection.
When you're putting these together, as I said, they all work in concert with one another. But how mindful do you have to be? Seven practices of a mindful leader. So how mindful do you have to be of these at all times? Or is there a way of training yourself so they become, you're doing them subconsciously?
Yeah, I think this is, one of the real kind of challenges and opportunities of when we talk about mindfulness practice to take it from being, from just being an idea, from just being something, you know, cognitive and something that we're aspiring to how do we kind of almost digest and embody and live these practices. You know, it's easy to say, right? Life is short, right? Life is short. We can say that, but you know, immediately then most of us, you know, go check our email or go on to the next distraction. But it's like how does that change? How does that shift the way that we show up in our relationships and our work and all parts of our life more in a more kind of embodied way? And I think that's the you know, mindfulness. The word mindfulness is, you know, bantered around these days. Again, it's very much, we all love the idea of it, and it is aspirational. And at the same time, I think these practices are meant to be very practical.
When it comes to the practicality of the final one, keep making it simpler, is there ever an end to that? Or can you always keep on making it simpler?
Yeah, these practices tend to be, as I think much of our human life, a bit paradoxical.
Uh-huh.
I think so. My answer is sort of a yes and. We can find real moments when it's just, we're just doing what we're doing. We're just, you know, whether it's I feel that way when I'm cooking dinner, or I feel that way sometimes when I'm leading a meeting, that I'm just completely doing what I'm doing, and it's almost like in that moment, in that activity, it just feels simple. I feel completely at home, relaxed. Nothing's lacking in that moment. But then, if you step back and I look at my life and, well, what's my day like, and what's my week like, and what's my calendar like? Yeah, there's always room for a bit more simplicity.
The name of the book is Seven Practices of a Mindful Leader, Lessons from Google and a Zen Monastery Kitchen. Mark Lesser is the author. Mark, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the connection with you this morning.
Thank you very much. Again, Seven Practices of a Mindful Leader by Mark Lesser. The book is published by New World Library. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.